having me here tonight. Most of you know who I am. I've got several scriptures I'd like to read tonight. Brother, I almost said just a few minutes ago that the children's church had preached just about everything I wanted to say tonight. I'm going to get up here and just say amen. I love that. That was a great program. The children learn from that, just like we do from the Word of God. And that's what I want to talk about here tonight. I'm with Gideon's International and Brother BJ and his precious wife and church family. Thank you for letting me be here. I just thank you, preach, so much. I want to start with a scripture tonight. God, when I first got in the Gideon family, the Lord laid a scripture on my heart, and I know Brother BJ is going to know this pretty well. It's in Isaiah, if you want to turn with me there, chapter 55. We're going to start with verse 11 and go through 12. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and the trees and the fields should clap their hands." It's amazing how God said that his word, and everybody that's here tonight, everybody that comes to church, we all have Bibles. We all have the word of God in our hand. This is our guidebook. And without this book, you know, I don't know where I would be, because I'm not real much on memorizing scriptures or things like that. I've memorized a whole lot of things when I was in school and enjoyed all of that. But as I get a little older, my mind gets a little bit more to where I need to open this book up and read it for what it says. You know, this is an infallible word. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what our opinions are. It matters what God's word says. If we think of anything else or try to say anything else, I know a lot of times we all speak out on social media. Be careful of that. Because if you don't line up with the Lord, then we've got a problem. But in this scripture here, also in verse 12, it says, "For ye shall go out with joy." That word stands out to me, and I want to bring some scriptures to you tonight about the ministry that we have before God. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor, a youth leader, a song leader, whatever your position is in the church, Sunday school teacher, we all are called to go and do. If we don't go and do, then I feel like there's something wrong with our ministry. I'm not saying if you're physically ill or if there's some problems where you can't really get out, there's always a way to bless other ministries. You know, you can bless them with your finances and most of all with your prayers. Mark 16 and 15. I may read several of these scriptures kind of fast, so you don't have to go there. Mark 16 and 15. "And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." He didn't tell us to go to China and just preach there. He didn't tell us just to go to Russia or just in our own little country here or in South America or, you know, wherever our countries are scattered out throughout the world. He didn't say, "I just want you to go here, and that's the only place I want you to go." God spoke to our hearts, no matter who you are, to say, "Go to all the world." And why did he want to do that? He wanted us to tell them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He wanted to tell them the importance of his word. God's word is very, very important. Without this guidebook, I'm afraid I'd be lost. I would stay in a constant prayer mode daily saying, "Lord, lead me, guide me." And I believe he would. But hey, he's given us this precious book. Why don't we use it? I mean, it's so important. In Matthew 10 and 7, it says, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand." You know, somebody says, "Well, exactly what does that mean?" Tell God that God's blessings are near. Tell folks that there's opportunity and salvation, the most important plan that we must seek out from God, from Christ. And also, we must tell them that Jesus is coming back. it's important to know that, yes, they've got something to look forward to. You know, some of us may go by the grave, but someday, I hope and pray to be raptured out here, brother. Yes, sir. You know, that's my prayer. I've been an undertaker most of my life, and hey, it'd be all right with me to cheat that grave.
Come on.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Just to be carried on by the Lord. Mark 13 and 10, the gospel must first be preached to all the nations before all these things that can happen of Christ coming. We must, and it will happen. I've heard some instances in my Gideon ministry, some testimonies from people that's all over the world. I get to meet a lot of these people in a lot of our meetings. They come in with some amazing testimonies. One young lady said that she didn't know Jesus. She had never heard about him. She was in, I believe it was a place, Cambodia, I think, that side of Vietnam. I think that's the way, I think I've got that name right. Jesus come to her in a dream one night and showed himself to her, told him who he was and what he could do. She was saved in an instant by what she saw from Christ. Look, if the Gideons can't get there, if the pastor can't get there, if the missionaries can't get there, Jesus will do it himself. I believe he will show up. Brother, if I get out of hand here, you let me know, okay? Matthew 28:19. Here we go. It says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, there's that word go. If you'll look through the Bible, you'll see that word go many, many times. And that's what we feel in our Gideon ministry, that we must go. We like to call ourselves, you know, maybe a helping hand arm to the church. I'm a member of First Baptist Church in Sullivan, and have been for many years, and we have a loving family there, and we feel the ministry to go, just like this church feels the ministry to go and reach the community that we have an opportunity to reach. Well, we must go. If we don't, there's going to be folks that's lost. There's folks that's not going to know Jesus because somebody forgot to tell them. Believe me, there's still folks out there that thinks Jesus was a good man, maybe he was a prophet, but do they know he's our Savior? Do they know he's our Lord? Another thing it says, the world wants us to believe in a lie. You know, you watch TV lately? Have you turned on the radio? I'm ashamed of the things that I see that my grandchildren are having to look at. The commercials that we're having to tolerate now. Don't worry, brother, I'm not going to get on politics. You know, I could stay up here all night about that, but I'm not running for office, so I'm not going to get on that. But, you know, we must pray for our president. We must pray for our country and our leaders all across the world, and hopefully they'll maintain peace. Because that's what God wants, is peace. But the world wants us to believe a lie. Hollywood wants us to believe a lie. Our news programs wants us to believe a lie. But brother BJ, every time you met me, I told you something big that you realized wasn't the truth. How would you feel about me? Would you let me in this pulpit? Don't blame you. Nobody likes a liar. All God wants us to do is go forth, tell folks about his word. Parents, what if your children, just say that they caught you lying to them? That would be tough, you know, because as parents, we don't want our kids lying to us. We want to know the truth. And that's what I want to introduce to you tonight, is the truth, and that's in this word of God. That's the only place that we're going to find it. God's going to raise us up. We've got to tell our children the truth. We've got to tell our families the truth. We've got to tell our church families the truth and our communities. That's why we have sanctuaries like this beautiful sanctuary here. This is the first time I've seen it, brother, been able to be in your new sanctuary. It's really beautiful. I'm so proud of Union Chapel for how y'all have been strong in this community. Got a fine pastor. I've known him and his wife all my life. Used to run around with her daddy. Didn't I, Brandy? Just don't believe what he's told you. But what I want to say most of all, I can read a lot of different things and I can say a lot of different things, but we must be the voice of truth. You know, I think there's a song that I sing on the radio that's talking about the voice of truth. And if you think about that, that's what the world wants to hear. Because if you tell somebody a lie about Jesus, if you tell them he's coming back tomorrow, do you really know that? You know, there might be somebody out there that believes that and you know, sells everything they've got, does something. You know, there's folks in the world that'll do things like that. But if you tell them, sure enough, he's coming back, I don't know when, the hour is, only God knows, but when he comes back, he's going to take his children home with him. That's what the wonderful thing is about that. And I'm going to get into a little bit more about our Gideons. I have had people ask me questions, what's going on with the Gideons in the world? And I know the first question I get from a lot of people is, what's going on in Ukraine with our Gideon world there? Well, let me tell you a miraculous miracle. When the Russians started bombarding the capital there of Kyiv in Ukraine, they destroyed a lot of buildings. A lot of lives were lost. The Gideons had a warehouse full of Bibles there. I mean, just stacked to the brim. That was the main hub station for us to distribute Bibles throughout that area. Guess what? None of the bombs hit that building. Nothing. That building was saved. Devastation all around it. I wished I had a picture of it, you know, that I could show you that how that building survived all those bombs and everything that was hitting all around. But God wanted each one of those Bibles, like I have here tonight. I've got some. Just a few of the ones, and I'll explain to you some of the ones that we love to give out in our schools and stuff. But Bibles like this were saved. We had entire Bibles, the Holy Bible. We had the complete thing, boxes stacked up. We had testaments that were handed out in the churches there in Ukraine. And it's just amazing to me. And they were able to go in and get every one of them out of there and move them and start distributing them immediately. There's still Gideons working in Ukraine. You would be surprised how many Gideons we have across the world. And they're in just about every country. Some of them lives are at stake, but you know what? God can do the impossible and watch over them and keep them safe and protected from harm. If he has to, he'll make them invisible while they're handing out the Bibles. You know, I have trust that the Lord will continue to do that. But the world is amazed at what's going on over there and how God is moving still in Ukraine. We've got over 200 campuses there. The camps that we have over 4,400 members. It looks like that country is not a very big country, but it is. It's very large. And that may not sound like a whole lot of people, but they're working hard as they can and got every church there distributing God's word and being there trying to help them in every which way they can. We place Bibles in our local schools like these right here. We have different colors. We like to give out the this year I think we gave out the little red ones. It may be one of these in the fifth grades. Also our 12th grade seniors. How many of you have been in the fifth grade and in the 12th grade has ever received one of these? I see those hands going up. I was there too many years ago, back in the 70s. I'm telling on my age, brother. But I was there too, and I received one. It was a little brown Bible like that right there. And God was moving and able to, and we're still able to get in those areas. And I thank our teachers. I've seen some teachers here tonight, and I thank y'all for allowing us in those grades to talk to our students. It gives us an opportunity. We have to be a little careful what we say, brother. But, you know, we can always tell them that what I like to say is, hey, I got a gift for you. And I believe it'll change your life. I know it will. That's one of the first things I say to our kids and our seniors. I especially like to talk to the seniors. They're starting out on a new world, going to college and starting jobs. You know, the world may be a little scary to them, but this will help them along the way. I always tell them that, parents. We've got a new Bible app. And I've got some cards that I'm going to leave here tonight. I've got them over there by Brother BJ, and I'll leave some out front. This new Bible app that we have, you can download it on your smartphone. All you got to do is just turn it over on the back there, and there's a little thing you can buzz on. I think that's called a QR code. And you can buzz on that, and it'll get you on our connection. You can buy Bibles on there. You can use our Gideon cards. We have lots of Gideon cards, just like this little card that BJ read a while ago, that you can donate money to the Gideons. For every $150 that you donate, we'll get 100 Bibles to distribute throughout the world. And most, if we go ourselves on a trip to South America or wherever, when we're privileged to do that, we pay for all that out of our own pocket. We don't charge that to Gideons or charge that to you. We pay for that ourselves. Every dollar you spend buys Bibles. And I promise you, they will get distributed. That's just like that storage house in Kyiv, in Ukraine. God didn't want those Bibles destroyed. He had a reason to protect them and to get His word out. And also, we have these in different languages. If we go to South America, then we find out what languages are there. And on this Bible app, some of you young folks will like that. And there's many languages throughout the world. We've got just about every language. If you want to click on it and hear what God's Word says in a different language, if you want to hear the 100th Psalm or John 3:16, it'll give you that in whatever language you want to listen to. If you want to listen to it in Chinese, it'll give it. But I'd like for y'all, each one of you, to take one of those and just take your scanner and scan that on your smartphone. I've got a short video. Do you have that ready? And I've got a testimony about that afterwards.
The story begins February of 1967. I got drafted in the United States Army. I was 21. We all went into this big room where you take the oath of service. And there was a man standing by a table near the exit with stacks of little books. And as we filed past him, he offered us books. They were Gideon New Testaments with Psalms and Proverbs. And I took one. I wasn't a Christian, but I believed in God. I describe myself as a Romans 1 believer. I mean, I could look up into the heavens and see nature around me and realize that it didn't all create itself. I had 9 weeks of basic training and then 9 weeks of advanced training in infantry, and had 19 days leave. Well, during that leave, before I was shipped to Vietnam, and during that time, I visited family and friends, and my best friend's mother introduced me to the 91st Psalm. And I read that psalm, and it grabbed a hold of me and wouldn't let go. The 91st Psalm has some amazing statements in it and promises, and they stood in juxtaposition to the anxiety and fears that I had, because I knew that probably some bad stuff lay ahead. So I kept that Gideon New Testament in my breast pocket in Vietnam in a waterproof bag. And whenever I was fearful or had some time, I was anxious, I'd take it out, I'd read the 91st Psalm, and it never failed to calm my fears and comfort me. I read it over and over and over again. On the night of January 30th, I was on listening post. Now, at night, whenever we were in perimeter, in defensive perimeter, we send out listening posts. 3 men on a radio from each platoon out in front of the perimeter. And it was our job to try to detect enemy infiltration, trying to sneak in at night. A little before midnight, I heard the ambush patrol call in. They had a starlight scope. It lights up the night with infrared technology, and they're able to see. And I heard them call in whispered tones. They observed a large North force was approaching, their ambush site, approaching the perimeter, walking alongside the road. And I believe it went like this, 50, 100, 150, 200, as they more and more soldiers came into their site. That was the night of January 30th that the ambush was, when they attacked. During the brief battle, I was wondering, where is the artillery? Where are, are the helicopter gunships? Where are the jet fighters? Normally, if a base is under attack, you'd have all those assets would come immediately come to your aid and start putting ordnance on the enemy positions, and we had none. The next morning, we sent out recon patrols, I think three or four recon patrols. So we started patrolling that day, and everybody was tired, a major sleep deficit for everyone. And we were in the dense jungle. The jungle there was very dense, and the going was tough. And we were went right through the middle of this open area. Actually, it was in the center of the open area. It was a shallow pond, and it was dry in the dry season. And a circular pond, and around the pond was about 25 yards, 25 meters of 6-inch grass, and then dense jungle. We walked right through the middle. The point man descended the slope of the pond, walked through the middle. He ascended the slope on the other side. And a curious thing, one single coil of GI concertina wire on the lip of the pond. I remember thinking, what on earth is this wire doing way out here in the middle of nowhere? Major red flag should have been waving. The point man stepped across the wire. I stepped across the wire. And then the jungle erupted. And I knew that my time to die had come. I'm firing one grenade after another. The Northamese are firing. And RPG explosions start exploding right in front of me, just a few feet away. And I believe four or five rounds landed right in front of me, any one of them close enough to blow me away, and I felt nothing. No blast, no flying dirt, nothing. And the shooting's going on, I'm firing and they're firing out, and nothing is hitting me. I realized that the 91st Psalm was coming literally true by the mercy and grace of God. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, for the arrow that flieth by day. For he shall give his angels charge to keep thee in all thy ways. And it, God was granting me a miracle. We searched the bodies. One of the soldiers was very young. They drafted them at 15 in North Vietnam, and this young man could have been 15. And he had a wallet in his pocket, and in his wallet was a picture of his mother and sister. They had their arms around each other, smiling. And I realized that we'd killed him and never see him again or know what happened to him. I just felt tremendous compassion for him because he was young. And it was a great lesson in the futility of war for me. I realized that war is necessary at times, but it's always a terrible thing, the loss of life, especially the loss of innocent life. But it was a great lesson for me because later, when I started reading and studying the Bible, it was an example of how to love an enemy. Always in the back of my mind was what happened on January 31st. The fact that I had been, my life had been spared by a miracle. I realized that if the 91st Psalm was true in such exact detail, the rest of the Bible had to be true as well. And so as I read the Bible over a period of time, I became convicted of my sins and pruned sinful behavior out of my life, one branch at a time. And I've tried to live my life by the Ten Commandments and the counsel of the Word of God. If I hadn't had that little pocket New Testament, I wouldn't have been reading it all those days. And that man that gave his time to be at the induction center in Syracuse, New York. I give thanks for that man who gave his time. I give thanks for the person that gave the dollar to purchase that Gideon Testament. And I give thanks to our God, who's faithful to his word and redeemed my life from destruction by a Red Sea miracle, a life-changing miracle.
Amen. The reason I wanted to show that testimony tonight is I have one of those Bibles that one of our veterans locally here put in his breast pocket right here and carried it with him everywhere he went. This Bible right here has been through five terms, I guess, or whatever you call that, when they go in. He went in for five enlistments, I guess you could say, in Afghanistan, and it was in his pocket the whole time. And it's one of our local guys. You might know him. Y'all know Wade Barnes from Sulligent? He carried this in his pocket right here. And he knew God would protect him. Wade and I are deacons at First Baptist Church in Sulligent. And one day he shared that testimony with me. And I knew that I had that video. And I just wanted to let y'all know that we do our best to try to touch lives even in our military. We do the military. We're in our colleges now, our local colleges. We're in hotels and motels all across the world. And Satan is fighting against that. I just want y'all to know that there are challenges, but hey, God's got a way to overcome any challenge that the devil throws at us. So just want to let you know, thank y'all for your support for Gideon's International. We appreciate every dollar that you donate to us. I promise you it will go to buying Bibles. It doesn't go for administrative costs. It doesn't go for anything else but purchasing Bibles, and we will get them distributed throughout the world. And with God's word, think of the lost souls that could be saved. Brother, I'm going to turn it back over to you now.